Looks like Google has gained some ground in the AI race, but what's waiting for us at the finish line? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Google is bringing artificial intelligence to, like, everything. Last week, the company announced updates to its Bard chatbot, integrations into search, productivity tools, healthcare services, and more. But there are plenty of people calling for more caution with this technology, from thousands of tech and science experts who signed an open letter calling for a pause in AI development, to a former Googler, Jeffrey Hinton, considered to be the godfather of AI, who recently left the company. Though he said Google has acted very responsibly, he wanted to have the freedom to, quote, talk about the dangers of AI without considering how this impacts Google. I asked James Manyika, Google's senior VP of technology and society, about how the company is balancing these concerns.
Think about all the benefits to people today, never mind in the future. So, for example, we now provide flood alerts to 20 countries covering 350 million people. That's a lot of people benefiting from the capabilities. Think about the groundbreaking progress we've done in the life sciences with AlphaFold. That's going to benefit drug discovery therapy. So I think the benefit side is so incredibly compelling. At the same time, we do have to take responsibility pretty seriously. And so we're investing an enormous amount in trying to be responsible and trying to move when we think these capabilities are ready. I understand the sentiment and concerns that were indicated by people asking for the pause. I share many of those concerns, but it's not clear to me that that's the way to address them. But, you know, the concerns are quite important, and we have to take them seriously.
I guess it's not just the benefits of this technology that might be driving the pace. There's also a commercial competition. You know, Google has some fierce competition from Microsoft and OpenAI that is pushing ahead. I mean, is a race like this conducive to responsibility?
Well, I don't know about race. I mean, I think we're proceeding at our pace. It's always interesting to me that half the world thinks Google is moving too slowly and is being too conservative and not putting things out as quickly. And the other half thinks we're moving too fast. I think there's a healthy tension in that because it reflects this idea we're trying to be bold and responsible. I think we're kind of going at a pace that feels about right to us. And we'll course correct as we go. I mean, because we're learning a lot. We're learning from users. We're learning from feedback. But we're still compelled by this idea that, you know, we want to do both things, be bold and be responsible. And we like the tension. We think it's a very productive tension for us.
Google in the past has been lauded for establishing a very robust AI ethics team, but over the recent years, that team has been kind of dogged by conflict and controversy. There's been a succession of high-profile departures on bad terms, you know, widespread reporting of internal concerns being raised about products being released quickly. How can the public trust that these products are safe, given this kind of disagreement even within the company?
One of the things I love about Google and the Google culture is the incredible amount of debate we have amongst ourselves. And I think the pace at which we're developing this technology and stewarding it, I think, speaks for itself. We're learning a lot, but boy, do we have a lot of debate and discussion about it. In fact, people think we're moving too, inside Google, by the way, think we're moving too fast. Half the people think we're moving too slowly. I think that's a healthy tension and healthy environment. We keep learning things and we're going to keep learning things. You know, we were the first company to actually put out a set of AI ethics principles in 2018. And we publish every year since then a progress report, where we transparently, you know, describe how we're doing, where we're making progress, where we still have work to do. Now, do we always get it right every single time? No. Do we learn from it? Absolutely. So that's, I think, part of what we're trying to do.
some of the harms that we have talked about, things like bias, misinformation, these things can, to a certain extent, I think, be tested for and tweaked in development. But when we think about some of the bigger societal harms that are being contemplated with artificial intelligence, things like massive job displacement or breakdown of social trust, these seem like problems that are hard for a company like Google to, you know, solve or address on its own. So what needs to happen there? You know, if we take as an assumption that companies like Google do have a moral and ethical responsibility to mitigate those kinds of harms?
Well, I think these are incredibly important questions that we're all going to need to grapple with. And it's part of the reason, Megan, why this has to be a collective effort. I mean, you mentioned the question of jobs, which happens to be is a topic that I've spent an enormous amount of time with colleagues, both at Google and outside in academia, researching. The way you might summarize the jobs question is that there are going to be jobs lost, there will be jobs gained, and there are a whole lot more jobs that will be changed. I think we'll see all three things happening at the same time. But if you look at much of that research, for the foreseeable future, I don't think there's going to be a shortage of jobs, but there'll be some real important things that we collectively are going to need to grapple with. We know we're going to need to grapple with, you know, skills and reskilling and adaptation as people work alongside these incredibly powerful technologies. And we're also going to need to think about how do we make sure we're educating people well and learning well in order to take advantage of the possibilities of these technologies. These are real issues that we're going to need to work on and grapple with. And I think that's not just a job for Google, although we're trying to make our, play our part. I mean, we're doing a lot of these skills training and digital certificates and, you know, that have benefited many people around the country in multiple states. But these are collective efforts involving us, other companies, other employers, but also the governments.
And do you think that this technology could have a role to play in reducing inequality, particularly global inequality, which you have spent much of your career working on?
Absolutely. I mean, think about people who've never had access to the world's information. Think about people who haven't had the opportunity, who have great ideas and haven't had the opportunity to go to a coding school, be able to code, but now they can speak to Bard in natural language, and Bard can turn that into code. You know, there's something like 7,000 languages spoken in the world if you wanted to cover over 90% of the human population. Right now, we can only translate 100. With these AI technologies, we now have an initiative at Google to get to 1,000 languages. Think about the amount of information access when people can access information in their own language through speech, text. And I mean, that's incredibly uplifting for a huge portion of society. So I think those possibilities are enormous for people everywhere.
James Manyika at Google. We've got more of our conversation with James Manyika on our website, marketplacetech.org, as well as part one of our interview with him on some of the specifics of the AI reveals from the Google conference last week, and how the company is creating tools to try to combat AI misuse by bad actors. It's a prospect Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak expressed concerns about in a recent interview with the BBC. He, along with Elon Musk and thousands of others, signed that open letter calling for a pause I mentioned earlier. In the interview, he warned the breakneck pace of AI development would likely worsen issues with deepfakes and misinformation.
The trouble is, AI is so intelligent, it's open to the bad players, the ones that want to trick you about who they are. Are they trying to sell you something you don't want? Are they trying to trick you to get your account information? You know, we see malicious intrusions all the time, both personal and companies that get intruded and millions of accounts get, you know, exposed and all that. That's only gonna, I would only expect that to become worse of a problem than it is now. Let's be careful about how fast we're proceeding.
He argued at some point, a human has to be held responsible for what is generated by AI. Daniel Shin produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.